بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. The chapter on the times of the prayers, part 2. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. اللهم زدنا علما كثيرا وفقها في الدين وعملا متقبلا وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. نسأل الله أن يوفقنا لما يحب ويرضى. أما بعد. Respected brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaykum assalam.
Inshallah, may Allah reward all of you for attending the halaqa. We ask Allah to give us the knowledge that will benefit us and to increase us in knowledge and understanding in huda and fiqh, and to make us to have this knowledge absorbed and to flow to us in a beautiful, in a good way, in a pleasant way. Inshallah, make us of those who hear the words that I mention and follow them. And inshallah ta'ala, we'll begin with the hadith that we began a couple weeks ago regarding the times of the prayers. The times of the prayers. This is called the Bab al-Mawaqit. The chapter on the Mawaqit, the times of the prayers. عن عبد الله ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال وقت الظهر إذا زالت الشمس وكان ظل الرجل كطوله ما لم يحضر وقت العصر ووقت العصر ما لم تصفر الشمس ووقت صلاة المغرب ما لم يغب الشفق ووقت صلاة العشاء إلى نصف الليل الأوسط ووقت صلاة الصبح من طلوع الفجر ما لم تطلع الشمس رواه مسلم. Okay, so here we inshallah will continue with the commentary of the Shaykh on this hadith. And we left off last time when we spoke about the time for the Dhuhr Salah. The Dhuhr Salah, and does anyone remember when the time of Dhuhr Salah begins? We had mentioned it last time. It's in the hadith here. What the Dhuhr ila zalat ash-shams. Does anybody remember this part? Yes, very good. When the sun, does anybody say it begins when the sun is in the middle of the sky?
No.
Good, good, mashallah. So you remember. When is it? When the sun moves from the middle of the sky. After, right. And when the sun is in the middle of the sky, if a person they have no shadow, the sun is directly above, this is called the Zawan. And at that time it's not allowed to pray. Right? We covered that last time. And then when the sun moves, and actually since it's hard to tell when the sun is at the peak, what the scholar says, you look at the shadow. So when the shadow switches directions, the shadow you're watching from the sunrise is in the east, the shadow is in the west. And as the sun goes higher, the shadow, it becomes smaller and smaller, until when the sun is in the middle of the sky, the shadow is not there at all, or very, very small. And then if the sun moves from the middle of the sky, the shadow, it starts going to the west, right, the sun? The shadow will point which way? East. So when we see the shadow changing direction, then this is the beginning of the time of the Dhuhr Salah. When the shadow it starts going towards the east, then this is the time of the Dhuhr Salah. So here the Shaykh, he mentioned in the words of the Prophet ﷺ regarding the time for Asr Salah. وَقْتُ الْعَصْرِ مَا لَمْ تَصْفَرْ الشَّمْسِ. The time for Asr is as long as the sun has not become yellow, yellowish in color. So here the Shaykh, he mentioned that the time for Asr, the beginning of the time for Asr, is when the shadow of a person is the same as his height. The length of your shadow is the same as your height. This is the beginning time for the Asr prayer. This is the beginning time for the Asr prayer, when your shadow is equal to your height. And it continues until the sun turns yellow. The sun, as it descends from the sky, its color, it starts becoming yellow before the sunset. When it's high up in the sky, it's whitish color. The light is white. But as the sun gets close to the horizon, you'll notice that it turns yellow. So the scholars, they said that the preferred time for Asr is before the sun turns yellow. This is the preferred time. So once a person's shadow is equal to his length, from that time that's the beginning of Asr. Right? And the preferred time to pray Asr is until the sun, it gets close, low down to the, closer to the sunset, and it turns what color?
Yellow.
Yellowish color. And this is the, called the preferred time. However, the time for Asr extends beyond that. Asr can be prayed all the way until the sun completely sets. And the time for Asr, it continues until the time that is left before the sun sets is enough to pray one rak'ah. The ending time for Asr is, if you have enough time to pray one rak'ah before the sun sets, then this, you have prayed Asr within its time. You see that? The sun is starting to set. If you can complete one full rak'ah before the sun sets, then you've prayed Asr in its time. So that's the end time of Asr, but that is not the preferred time. That's called the time of necessity, the daruri time. So I know it's a little bit confusing, the Asr prayer is a little bit confusing. So let me repeat it, inshallah. Asr has two times, the preferred time for it, and the time of necessity. The preferred time for Asr, it begins when the length of the shadow of a person is roughly the same with his height. And when does the preferred time end?
You have enough time to pray one rak'ah.
That's the end of the daruri time, the necessity time. When does the preferred time end? When the sun?
Gets yellow.
When the sun turns yellow. Because that's the preferable time to pray Asr. This is what the Prophet ﷺ said, مَا لَمْ تَسْفَرْفَ الشَّمْسِ. He said, as long as the sun didn't turn yellow. So it's actually preferred to pray it in that time.
And,
right. One should try to pray Asr. It's preferred, it's the more virtuous time to pray it before the sun starts turning yellow. However, if one, there's a necessity time, what is called the necessity time. And the necessity time for Asr is from when the sun turns yellow all the way until the sun is almost completely set, but you have time for one rak'ah left. If you have time for one rak'ah left, that's the ending time, the necessity time for Asr. So you see, Asr has two times, the preferred time and the necessary time. Okay? So the beginning of the Asr time, we'll repeat it one more time and make it a little bit clearer, inshallah. The beginning of the time of Asr is when the shadow is equal to the height of a person. And now let me add something a little bit more here. Actually, what happens is the shadow at the time of noon, it doesn't actually become completely zero. When the sun is in the middle of the sky, the sun actually, the shadow does not become completely zero. And the reason for that is that the earth has a tilt on its axis. The earth is, when the sun, its rays touch the earth is not completely perpendicular. The rays of the sun do not touch the surface of the earth directly. So there's always a little bit of shadow, even at dhuhr time. Even at dhuhr time. Because the way that the earth is, there's an angle when the rays of the sun hit the earth. Even if the sun is in the middle of the sky, there's still a little bit of an angle, even at the zenith, the dhuhr time. So, basically, you know it's dhuhr time when the shadow becomes the shortest. You know it's the zenith. There's still going to be a little bit of shadow. There's still going to be a little bit of shadow. Because the rays of the sun, they don't hit the earth perpendicular. They don't make a 90 degree angle. They come at a little bit of an angle. So even if the sun is at the highest point, there's going to be a little bit of a shadow there. Is that clear for everybody?
Sure.
Only in certain places on the earth at certain times of the year, like on the equator. If you're on the equator at the time when day and night are equal in length, 12 hours each, then the rays of the sun will be directly perpendicular. There'll be no shadow at all. But depending on where you are on the earth and what time of year it is, if it's summer or winter, you're going to have some shadow at the lower time. Okay, is that clear? So, that the reason why I'm explaining this is because when we want to know when Asr begins, when Asr begins, we have to add the length of the shadow at the zenith, at Lohar, plus the length of the person, the height of the person, and then that is the time for the beginning of Asr. See that? That's the time for the beginning of Asr. Not just his length is equal to his height, because there was already a little bit of shadow at Lohar. So we want to wait till the sun is halfway down the sky. You got to add the extra bit that was there at Lohar to the regular height of a person. Is that clear, or should I give you an example?
No.
Give you an example?
So it could be like a shadow and a half, or a shadow.
Depending on... Alright, let me give you an example. A person at Lohar, at the zenith of the sun, the shadow, if there's 1 foot, you have a shadow of 1 foot at the Lohar time. And you're 5 feet tall. Okay? So, when does Asr begin? How long does your shadow have to be? Your height, which is 5 feet, plus the 1 foot that you had at Lohar. So when your shadow is 6 feet, that is the beginning of the time of Asr. That is the time of the beginning of Asr. Okay, so that's one more extra step that you have to take. Unless you are on the equator in the middle of, you know, in the middle of the year, when the days are equal, then you don't have to worry about the extra shadow at Lohar time. So maybe we should all move to the equator so we don't have to.
No.
So this is the beginning time for Asr, when the shadow is equal to the height plus that little bit at Lohar time. So we'll say when a man's shadow is, say, 6 feet if he's 5 foot tall, and there was 1 foot at Lohar. So that's the beginning time of Asr. And the preferred time for Asr is to pray it before the... What happens to the sun?
It turns yellow.
And one thing the Shaykh, he mentioned here, is that praying Asr on time is very, very important. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever misses Asr, as if he lost all of his wealth and his family. It's a very, very strong hadith. So praying Asr at this time, especially praying it in the preferred time, it's as if worth all of your family and all of your money. Such a very important to pray it in the preferred time. However, if one were to pray after the time when the sun turned yellow, and he prayed before the sunset, and he finished one full unit, one rak'ah before the sunset, the Asr is still counted on time. But it's not the preferred, it's not the best, the most meritous, but it's still acceptable. It's within its time. All of the women agree, it is still within its time. Okay, so this is the time for, the preferred time for Asr, and then the necessity time for Asr, inshallah ta'ala. Okay, and now we come to the next part of the hadith. Ma'lam Taswar al-Shams. Now, okay, so I don't know if any of us noticed when the sun was setting today. When the sun begins to set, it turns yellowish in color. And then it turns red. Then it turns red after that. And in the morning time, when the sun rises, you see like a yellowish color in the sunrise. You see it yellow in the morning, and at the sunset you see redness on the sky. So some of the ulama, they ask, what causes these colors on the horizon? What is the cause of these colors? And Allahu A'lam, some of the ulama, they said that the rays of the sun, when they come in the morning, when the sun is rising, the rays are diffracted by some moisture in the air. Because at nighttime things cool down, and there's more moisture in the air. the air is more moist at night, so that the rays of the sun they hit the moisture of the night, and it makes a yellowish color in the sunrise. But as the day heats up, all of the moisture leaves the air, and then the sun rays, they become white, and then at the time of the sunset, when the sun sets, you get the reddish color, the afterglow, after the sun has set. So this is what some of the ulama said. Wallahu a'lam. Allah knows what is the real cause, but the shaykh, he mentioned that some of the ulama, they gave that reasoning for it. Now, the time for Asr, it begins at the end of Dhuhr. Right? The time for Asr begins at the end of Dhuhr. So you can pray Dhuhr all the way until the beginning of Asr. And you can pray Asr all the way to the beginning of Maghrib. The beginning of Maghrib time. Now, so once the sun turns yellow, this is the time where, this is called the necessity time. One should hasten to pray. Once the sun, the Asr time, once the sun is getting yellowish in color, is getting low down, this is the necessity time. This is the time where one should pray as a necessity. Okay. So we'll come to the next part of the hadith. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, وَقْتَ الصَّلَاةِ الْمَغْرِبِ مَا لَمْ يَغِبْ الشَّفَقِ وَالْعَصْرِ يَنْتَهِ وَقْتُهُ بِغُرُوبِ الشَّمْسِ. Now, so here we come to another point, which is that every prayer time begins with the end of the prayer time before it. This is an important principle. The time for each prayer begins when the prayer before it ends. As soon as the time for the prayer before it ends, then the time for the new prayer begins. Right? This is for all the prayers except for Dhuhr. Because depending on how you look at it, I know what you mean. Dhuhr, the time for Dhuhr doesn't begin at the end of Fajr. The time for Fajr, it ends when the sun rises above the horizon. Does Dhuhr begin at the end of Fajr? No, that's the only one that doesn't follow the rule. But every other prayer, they begin at the end of the time before. So, Asr, it begins when Dhuhr ends. When Dhuhr ends, Asr time begins. Maghrib begins when the Asr time ends. Isha begins when Maghrib time ends. And Fajr begins when Isha time ends. You see that? So this is throughout the day. When one prayer time ends, the next one begins. The only exception is the Dhuhr Salah. The time for Dhuhr, it begins, it has its own timing. And what is the reason for that? The reason for that, some of the ulama, they said that when Adam alayhi salam, he came down to the earth, when Allah put him on the earth, he said, the first prayer that Adam alayhi salam prayed was the Dhuhr prayer. So that's when the prayer times begin. The times for prayers begin with Dhuhr. Now, this is what some of the scholars, they say, that was the first prayer. And also, they say, when the Prophet ﷺ was commanded to do the Salah, when was that? Do you know when the commandment for the prayers was? The 50 prayers, and then 40 and 30. In the Mi'raj, in the heaven, the highest heaven. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He commanded the prayer when the Prophet ﷺ went on the Isra and Mi'raj. So He commanded the Prophet ﷺ to pray, as you know the story, 50, and then He reduced it. Musa told him, your ummah cannot do it. And then he went back and he asked Allah to reduce it until it became only 5 prayers. So when the Prophet ﷺ returned from the heavens, came back to the earth, then Angel Jibreel alayhi salam came to the Prophet ﷺ and taught him the times for the prayers. This is a very interesting story. I don't know if you brothers are familiar with this story. How did Angel Jibreel teach the Prophet ﷺ the times for the prayer? They say that when the Prophet ﷺ returned from the Mi'raj, Angel Jibreel didn't come at Fajr time. The first prayer Angel Gabriel came to add was Lohar prayer. So he didn't come at the time of Fajr after the Prophet ﷺ, he returned at that night, but he came at Dhuhr time. And then Angel Gabriel, he showed the Prophet ﷺ how to pray at the beginning of each prayer time. So he showed the Prophet ﷺ the first day, he came 2 days. The first day he prayed with the Prophet ﷺ right at the beginning of Dhuhr time, right after the zenith. Then he prayed with the Prophet ﷺ right after the shadow was equal to the sun, the beginning of Asr. And then he prayed right after the sunset, Maghrib. He prayed after the redness went away from the sky, Isha. And then he prayed right before the sun, right after the time of Fajr, the beginning of Fajr, on the first day. So he showed the Prophet all of the prayer times. So why did he come back the second day? Angel Jibreel alayhi salam. You don't have to, no.
Fajr.
And he came on Fajr and then he left that day. So why did he come back at Dhuhr time again the second day? He already taught the Prophet ﷺ the beginnings of all the prayer times. He came back to teach him the endings of all the prayer times. So he came back and he prayed up Dhuhr this time, but he prayed Dhuhr just before the shadow became equal to its length. And he said, and then he prayed Asr, just before the sunset, by one rak'ah. And then he prayed Maghrib, just before the redness left the sky. And then he prayed Isha, just before the break of dawn, the color of the whiteness on the sky. And then he prayed Fajr, just before the sun rose. And then Jibreel alayhi salam, he told Prophet Muhammad alayhi salam, between these two is the time for the prayers. Between the time I prayed on the first day and the time I prayed on the second day, those are the times for the prayers. So that was how the times for the prayers was taught to the Prophet. And it happened again, the similar thing took place between a Sahabi and the Prophet. There was a Sahabi, he came to the Prophet and he said, tell me about the times for the prayers. So the Prophet ﷺ, the first day, he prayed all of the prayers in the beginnings of the times. And then on the second day, he prayed all... one thing I forgot to mention, Jibreel, in the narration, I apologize, this is a mistake. Let's go back to the story of Jibreel. When Jibreel came back the second day to pray Maghrib, he prayed Maghrib at exactly the same time. It's a correction. I have white out here. He came back and he prayed Maghrib at exactly the same time. He didn't pray Maghrib just before the time of Isha. He prayed Maghrib at the same time. And this is important because we're going to look at, when we talk about Maghrib in a few minutes, maybe in about 5 minutes or so, we're going to see how some of the ulama, especially Imam Malik, he used this as a proof that you have to pray, that Maghrib time is very, very short. He didn't consider that Maghrib extends all the way to the sunset, but he preferred that Maghrib be prayed earlier, in the earlier time. So we'll come back to that. So I wanted to make sure that was clear. So for Jibreel alayhi salam, he prayed Maghrib at the exact same time both days. But the other prayers, he prayed first in the earliest time of the prayer, then he prayed at the end of the time of the prayer. Is that clear? Say it? Okay. So then the Prophet alayhi salam, the same thing took place when the Sahabi came to him. He said, what are the times of the prayers? So then the Prophet ﷺ, he prayed all of the prayers in the beginning of their times, one day. And then the second day, he prayed all the prayers at the end of their times, except for Maghrib. He prayed Maghrib at exactly the same time. And then after the second day, he said, where is that person who asked me about the prayer times? He said, I'm here, Ya Rasulullah. He said, the prayer times are between these two times that I prayed each prayer. So he showed him by example. He gave him an example, real life example of the times of the prayer. Okay, so this is the times of the prayer, especially for the Asr. This is the narration about the time for the Asr prayer. Is there any questions up to here? Any questions on the time for that so far?
Yes. I wasn't there last week, so I don't know if I'm going to ask any questions, but if you miss Fajr prayer, and you wanted to make it up, when would you be able to do it according to the sun, or would you be able to do it?
Okay. We're going to talk about Fajr also in a few minutes, but basically, a person, they should make up any prayer as soon as they can. When it comes to making up prayers, the sooner the better. That's basically the principle in that. If a person forgot or they overslept, as soon as they remember or wake up, pray it at that time, and that's the time for the prayer.
That's the question.
If the sun is rising, even if the sun is rising, because they say doing the qada, the making up the prayer, you should pray any time, even if the sun is rising. No, this is an exception to the rule, because we also have a hadith that says, whoever prays one rak'ah before the sun rises, he's prayed the fajr on time, and whoever prays one rak'ah before the sun sets, he prayed the asr on time. So that's an exception to the rule of not praying at the time of sunrise and sunset. Inshallah, Allah knows best. There is a narration, and subhanAllah, you brought this up, so I'll just mention it. There's a narration that, I hope I don't go too off topic, but anyways, to answer your question, the Prophet ﷺ was with Bilal, this is in Bukhari, and they were very tired, they were traveling the whole night, and the Prophet ﷺ wanted to wait for Fajr, and Bilal said, take a rest and I'll call Adhan for Fajr. The Prophet ﷺ said, I'm afraid you're going to fall asleep. So Bilal said, no, I'm going to stay up, and when Fajr time's in, I'll call Adhan. So the Prophet ﷺ went to sleep, and when he woke up, the sun was rising. The sun was already rising. So he said, where is Bilal? Bilal was sleeping. So the Prophet said, oh, the servant has fallen asleep. He woke everybody up. He said, Bilal, what happened? Bilal said, I never slept like that before. So then the Prophet said, he told Bilal, get on the horse and let's ride a little bit. So they rode a little bit, and then they got down and they called Adhan and Iqamah and they prayed there. So this narration, why didn't the Prophet ﷺ pray immediately? Why did he ride a little bit and then pray? And Allahu A'lam, what I heard and I read in some commentaries is that the Prophet ﷺ, he said if a person misses a prayer in a place, it's because of the shaitan. The shaitan affected them in that place. So he wanted to leave that place where the shaitan was and go and pray in a place away from that. But the scholars, they say, if you wake up and the sun is rising, if you can pray even one rak'ah before the sun rises, you got the fajr on time. And if you pray one rak'ah before the sun sets, you got the asr on time. But is that the preferable time for it?
No.
The preferable time is to pray before the sun turns yellow, inshallah, time for the asr. Okay, so Allahu A'lam, that was just a comment on your question, inshaAllah ta'ala. JazakAllah khair for the question. No. Okay, and the times of the prayers are mentioned by Allah in the Quran. إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ كَانَتْ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ كِتَابًا مَوْقُوتًا. Allah says, we have written, or indeed the prayers are written upon, they are written upon the believers at fixed times. كَانَتْ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ كِتَابًا مَوْقُوتًا. مَوْقُوتًا comes from the word waqt, which means time. So Allah is telling us in the Quran, He has appointed times for every prayer. And then He even gives an indication of these times in another verse. The other verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَقَمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِدُلُوكِ الشَّمْسِ. Make the prayer for the setting of the sun, وَقُرْآنَ الْفَجْرِ إِلَى غَسَقِ اللَّيْلِ, until it's night time, وَقُرْآنَ الْفَجْرِ إِنَّ قُرْآنَ الْفَجْرِ كَانَ مَشْهُودًا. So here Allah is saying, make the prayer for the motion of the sun. And so the scholars, they say that this includes the dhuhr and the asr prayers. And then for the night time, it includes maghrib and isha, غَسَقَ اللَّيْلِ, وَقُرْآنَ الْفَجْرِ, It's the Fajr prayer. So the five prayers are kind of indicated in the Quran, but the Sunnah made it clear. The Sunnah came to make it clear. Nobody can figure out the prayer times just by the ayah in the Quran. They have to look at the Sunnah. The Sunnah came to explain. So the Prophet ﷺ, he explained the time for the prayers, the beginning and the ending times. The Quran, it doesn't tell us the beginning and ending times of the prayer. It gives an indication, roughly, of the five prayers, but nowhere in the Quran does it say the beginning and the ending times of the prayers. Where do we have to look? Look in the Sunnah, inshallah ta'ala. It explains to us the beginning and the ending time for each and every prayer. Inshallah. Okay, so then we come to one other part here, which is the Maghrib time. Now, the Maghrib time. So let's talk about the Maghrib time and then we'll take a 5 minute break, inshallah ta'ala. Is that okay? Everybody?
Yeah.
You want a break now? Talk about the Maghrib time, inshallah, and then we have to get to Isha time before Isha comes in. So, فالمغرب يمتد وقته ما لم يغب الشفق. Okay, so the time for Maghrib, as you may be familiar, and but this is very important that we understand this, because many people misunderstand this. The time for Maghrib begins as soon as the circle of the sun goes below the horizon. As soon as the circle of the sun, it's gone below the horizon, the time for Maghrib has begun. It doesn't matter if there's still light, a lot of light on the horizon. It doesn't make a difference. This is according to all four madahib, agreement of all of the scholars of the Sunnah, the Sunnah al-Jama'ah. They say as soon as the circle of the sun goes below the horizon, Maghrib has begun at that time. So this is the beginning time for Maghrib. And the scholars, they say that the Maghrib time, it would end. When would it end? When the redness, the shafaq, when the redness leaves the sky. Because after the sun sets, on a clear day, you're going to see some redness, some red coloring in the sky. So Maghrib time, it's still within its time, as long as the redness is still there, what they call the ruddy afterglow. You know, like a reddish-brown color in the sky after the sunset. As long as there's some redness in the sky, if it didn't become black, completely black, the Maghrib is still there's still enough time to pray it. And that redness, when it leaves the sky, it depends on where you live, but it could be roughly an hour to an hour and a half after the sun sets. All the redness has to leave the sky, then what happens to Maghrib? Time is over. The time is over for Maghrib now. However, and this is the point I mentioned earlier, according to the Malikiya, and in fact many of the Jumhur, many of the other Madahib also, they say that the preferred time for Maghrib is immediately after sunset. The preferred time is immediately after sunset. And they base this on the hadith of Jibreel that we mentioned earlier. And they say that the holy time, the necessity time, it continues all the way until the redness leaves the sky. But the preferred time is to pray as soon as the sun has set. And in fact, Imam Malik, his view is that his view is that as soon as break begins for me, before you guys on this. I'll wait to drink this so we can all drink this tea together. Okay. The waqt of Maghrib, the time of Maghrib, according to Malik, the preferred time for Maghrib is as soon as the sun sets. It should not be delayed more than the time it takes to make wudu and call adhan. The time that it would take you to make wudu and call adhan. Some narrations, they say the time it would take to make wudu and pray two rakahs, and pray the three rakahs, and pray two more rakahs of sunnah, then the time is over, according to Imam Malik. So he gives it, he makes it very, very, very constricted. See what I mean? He only considers Maghrib has one time. He doesn't consider it that you can pray it anywhere in between. He just says, as long as much time as it takes you to make wudu, call adhan, pray and pray your sunnah, that's it. Time is over, according to Imam Malik. But however, if there's a necessity in the Maliki school, and he says you can pray until the redness leaves the sky. And as long as there's some redness, he said this is the time of necessity. You know, if you have a need, if you're stuck somewhere, or you know, the it's not the preferable time, but you can pray it until the redness leaves the sky. And again, it's based on the two hadith, the hadith of Jibreel alayhi salam and the hadith of the Bedouin who came and asked, what are the times for prayer? And the Prophet says, and prayed each prayer in the beginning and the end, except for Maghrib, he prayed it at the same time. Okay, there is some narrations that the Bedouin, he prayed Maghrib at his beginning time, the Prophet ﷺ, and then he prayed Maghrib just before the redness left the sky. So this is what some of the other ulama they used, that there is some flexibility in case one is delayed from the beginning time of Maghrib. Yes.
Like how I'm looking on top of the hill, you know, and I can see, you know, like, I can see the sun goes down, you know, below the redness goes down.
No.
And if you are in a valley, right, the time, in a valley, it goes down faster than living it on top.
No.
You know,
there might be a
approach
Okay, this is a point that this is related to the schedules, maybe. Because the schedule, they might have a time on there. But the schedule is based on a calculation. And the actual eyesight is the real life observance. So which one has more authority? The one that you see or what's written on the table?
See.
The one that you see. That has more authority. So the schedule is based on an estimate. Although Maghrib is very, very close. Maghrib, it doesn't change that much. If you're up a few stories in a building, or, you know, it doesn't, it's a matter of a few seconds. So usually all the schedules or all the calculations are very close when it comes to Maghrib. The other prayers, the ulama differed. So you'll find some variation in the Fajr time, depending on which scholars or which madhab or which body of ulama, you'll find some differences. And the other prayers. But when it comes to Maghrib, it's usually very, very close. But the point that the brother is bringing up is that when they calculate the Maghrib, the sunset time, is it based on sea level or is it based on like the altitude? Do they take that into consideration? Along with Adam, if they do that. As far as I know, they calculate the latitude, longitude, but they don't take into consideration the altitude. And also they calculate it by the city center. So, if you live further away from the city center, then the time would be different. So the way around that, you can actually, if you can enter your exact latitude and longitude, and take into consideration any difference in height, then you would be, you know, safe. But of course,
more or less for the other, you know, what I'm more concerned with is like fast, the breaking of the fast. Especially when the sun goes down. Now, you know, like, I'm assuming that I'm like 900 and something feet above. You know, my time is going to be like about 3 minutes different from the measured time, which the measured sits in a valley.
Mm-hmm.
You know, according to where the measured is, the sun goes down faster. Because it's in a valley.
Right,
you know, you
right.
see the sun, but if you live up there, you see that the sun is the same level.
What as what I know about Wa'am, this is going to take us to a different subject, but well, as far as I know, that so many of the schedules, they add a minute or two to the Maghrib time.
Right.
They add a minute to make up for any of those differences, to be on the safe side. You know, that according to the calculation, it would be, you know, say 5 o'clock, they put the time 5:01. To give that extra 60 seconds to compensate for any minor differences. But that would be something, if you notice something wrong, if you see on a schedule that the time is says that it's sunset and you see the sun, you should get in touch with the people who made those schedules and tell them so they can correct the mistake, inshallah. So it doesn't hurt to look and to make sure that it's accurate. If you do see a mistake or you think that the time is off, you should get in touch with the people who made the schedule and inform them. And Allahu A'lam, maybe they can make a correction, inshallah ta'ala. No harm in
that. A lot of reward because they are very, you know, it's not something easy.
No. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. But it's good that you brought it up because this is why we're learning these rules. Because we don't want to be completely dependent only on the timetable. We should also know the fiqh of the times, inshallah. Inshallah.
Like the Prophet mentioned, if you see the sun, sit down, eat. Like Ramadan, you know, break your fast.
No, the religion is easy, alhamdulillah.
Yes.
One of the things that we spoke about before is that any person on the face of the earth can practice Islam. It's not only for people who have advanced degrees, Islam is for all people. It's been made, Allah made the prayers connected with the sun. Every person, even a person in the desert, a farmer, he doesn't have to have any knowledge. He can learn the times of the prayer. You begin Ramadan by sighting the moon. You begin the prayer times by knowing the motions of the sun. This is something that every person, they're equal on that. In fact, the country dwellers might be better than us at it, because they're used to watching the sun and the moon. So Islam is something that is universal for all people in all places, of all levels of education, and in all types of occupations. It's something that we can all practice easily, inshallah. Okay, so inshallah we'll stop here for a few minutes. Then maybe a 5-minute break and we'll come back. Inshallah. Is there any other questions up to you on this? Okay. Take a five. Inshallah. Jazakallah khair, may Allah reward all of you. Inshallah. We'll take a 5-minute break. This 9:15 we'll start about. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We're continuing inshallah in the Awqat al-Salaam. Among the Bible, salatu wa salam, Rasulullah, wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam, Allah nazidna. Welcome back, I'd like to welcome all of you, inshallah, to this part of the lesson, inshallah. So we reached the salah, the time for the Maghrib prayer. And the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, وَالْمَغْرِبُ مَا نَمْ يَغِبْ الشَّفَقْ. Now, the Maghrib is as long as the Shafaq did not leave the sky. And what does the word shafaq mean? The majority of scholars, they said the shafaq means the redness of the sky. The redness of the sky. Because when the sun sets, there's yellowness as it's setting, and then once the sun leaves, then it becomes, the rays continue to refract in the sky. We still see some light even after the sun sets. And that remainder of the rays of the sun's light, that remainder is called the shafaq. And again, the shafaq has no effect on the ruling of the beginning of Maghrib. Maghrib will begin as soon as the sun sets. But there's going to be remainders of the rays of light, and that's called the shafaq. And the majority of scholars say the shafaq is the redness. So as long as you see some redness in the sky, you can pray, your Maghrib will still be on time. Abu Hanifa, may Allah have mercy upon him, he said that the shafaq means that any whiteness, any light whatsoever in the sky, not the redness, but Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah, he said any light whatsoever, whiteness in the sky. That was his view. However, some of the ulama, they said that if you look for the whiteness in the sky, the light, you might see some light even, it might continue even all the way till midnight. There's still a little bit of light after the sunset. So some of the ulama, they considered it that the majority say it's the redness. Not the whiteness in the sky, but the redness. When the redness is gone, then time for which prayer? For Isha prayer. Now, And this is the words of the Prophet ﷺ, وَوَدُّ صَلَاةِ الْعِشَىٰ إِلَىٰ نِصْفِ اللَّيْلِ الْأَوْسَطِ. The time for the Isha prayer is until the halfway in the night. The halfway in the middle of the night, midnight. But not midnight 12 a.m. Midnight meaning halfway between sunset and sunrise. The halfway point, this is called midnight. Now, so Isha, it begins when there's no more redness in the sky. The sky becomes no more redness. This is the time for Isha. And the interesting thing about Isha is that it's preferable to delay Isha a little bit. It's preferable to delay Isha. Normally, what is it preferable to do for prayers? To delay it or pray as soon as the earliest we can? Right. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, the best of actions is faith in Allah and making the prayers in the early times. Right?
Why do you delay?
Okay, good. We're gonna, now, why do we delay? The scholars say that normally it's better to pray in the early time. Okay? However, for certain reasons, it might be preferable to delay it. And one of the reasons they give, and this is especially for Dhuhr prayer, if it's too hot, especially in the desert or in hot places, right at Dhuhr, the sun is right above, it's very, very hot. So the Prophet ﷺ, sometimes he would tell the Sahaba, let it cool off a little bit, then we'll pray Dhuhr. So in that case, it's better to delay Dhuhr somewhat. As for Isha, the scholars say that it's also better to delay it somewhat. And the proof of that is that the Prophet ﷺ, he delayed Isha one time. He delayed Isha, he prayed later. And then he came out and he said, this is the time for Isha, but I do not want to make it difficult upon my ummah. This is the best time, or this is the time for Isha, if it wasn't to be a burden upon my ummah. And he had delayed it somewhat. In another narration, the Prophet ﷺ, the Sahaba, they had prayed Maghrib, and they were sitting in the masjid waiting for Isha. And the Prophet ﷺ, he delayed it. And they eat so much that they even fell asleep. They were waiting for Isha, and he delayed, and they nodded off. They became drowsy and nodded off. And we talked about this hadith before in one of the lessons about the sleep break the wudu or not. And when the Prophet ﷺ came in, the Sahaba, they all got up and prayed. They didn't repeat their wudu. So in that lesson, when we talked about the things that break wudu, the scholars, they mentioned this hadith, that light sleep, where one still has control over their muscles, or some of them said the way they were sitting, it would protect them from breaking their wudu. And there was a discussion, is sleep itself break the wudu, or is it that when we're asleep, we could do something that breaks the wudu? That was another issue that came up previously. But in this hadith, we see that the Prophet ﷺ delayed the Isha until the Sahaba nodded off. And then when he came back, he came out, they got up to pray, and he said, there is no one else on earth who is worshipping Allah except you. And then he said, that this is the time for Isha. Now, then he said, this is the time, إِنَّهُ لَوَقْتِهَا لَوْلَا أَنَّ شُكْرًا أُمَّتِي. Now, so again, he said, this is the time for Isha if it wasn't a hardship for my ummah. No. Okay. Alright, so praying Isha in the early time, if the Sahaba were gathered, he would pray the Isha in the early time. And if the Sahaba were not gathered, sometimes he would delay it so that the Sahaba would come and then they would pray together. So they can all make the Salah together. See that? So if the Sahaba were already there and the time for Isha came, he would pray with them. But if the people were not there, they needed time to gather, he would wait and delay it somewhat so that people could gather and get together for the prayer. So the time for Isha begins when?
The redness is gone.
When the redness, the shafak, is gone from the sky. Okay? And the best time for it is, as it mentions, delaying it somewhat. Before the, until the middle of the night, before that time, to delay it somewhat. Okay?
Let's go. This thing that we have in now, it's too much education, right?
I'm sorry? The
Sheikh, one point. Now Muhammad learned, all our time now going to be changed now.
Oh, I see. Well, I didn't finish. Let's finish the chapter on this, because there's another point. There's a little bit more to it. And inshallah, we're going to... This will be my favorite, Muhammad, inshallah, if we go over the rest of this. The last part, or the other commentary the Shaykh made, is that the time for Isha, it is sometimes it's prayed in the earlier time, and it's better to do that. And the reason for that is that sometimes you have women that attend the masjid. For example, he gave the example of Masjid Nabawi. He said in Masjid Nabawi, they pray as soon as the time of Isha comes in. They don't delay it. And he said that sometimes you have, especially people who come from far distances, then it's difficult for them to come, to go back very, very late at night. So he said that Masjid Nabawi, it's better to, people are coming from far away, there's women, there's elderly people, there's weak people, and they cannot stay very late. And so in those kind of circumstances, it's better to pray as soon as it comes in. And he said, for those who want to delay it, this might be good if somebody lives in the countryside by himself. And he doesn't have to, he's praying in his house. Then for him, it's better to delay it somewhat. Or if there's a group of people, and they all agree, and everyone together, they agree that we want to pray Isha a little bit later. Then he said, in this case, it's okay. But everybody should agree to that. Right? So we say, Brother Muhammad and Salah, you see? That's right. That's right. Because here, you know, for example, people, they come from far away. You know, it's not that people live right next door to the masjid. Some people come from distance. Some of the sisters come to attend the halakas. So that would have to be taken into consideration, inshallah. Okay, we have the last part of the dars, inshallah, which is the time for the Fajr prayer. The time for the Salah of the Fajr prayer. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, وَقْتُ صَلَاةِ الصُّبْحِ مِنْ تُلُوءِ الْفَجْرِ مَا لَمْ تَطَّلِعْ الشَّمْسِ. Here the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, the time for the morning prayer, is from the break of dawn. Break of dawn is when there's a little bit of white light in the sky. We're gonna go over it. But the break of dawn until before the sun rises. So it begins the sun as soon as the dawn breaks. And it ends as soon as the sun it rises above. So here the scholars they say that the time of Fajr, it begins when the true Fajr starts. And the Shaykh, he made a commentary. He said there's actually two dawns that people see. One is called the false dawn, and one is called the true dawn. They call Fajr al-Kadir and Fajr al-Sadiq. So what is the false dawn? The false dawn is not the time for Fajr. The false dawn is a time which is actually before the beginning of Fajr. And the scholars, they describe that. They said the false dawn, it looks like the Prophet himself, he mentioned it. He said, Fajr al-Kadir is when you see like the tail of a wolf in the sky. You see some white light, like a pillar of white light shooting up in the sky. This is after the darkness of night, you'll see some white light up in the sky, like a pillar, like the tail of a fox. So this is not the true Fajr. Because what happens to that tail of light after a little while? It becomes dark again. It becomes completely black. That subhanAllah, that light comes out of nowhere and then it disappears again. It doesn't get brighter and brighter and brighter. But the true fajr is when the white light, it doesn't make a pillar, but it spreads all the way across the horizon. And once the true fajr starts, it's going to get brighter and brighter and brighter. It's not going to go away. So this is how you know this will be the true fajr. So when the false fajr, that light comes, are we allowed to pray fajr at that time? No, it's not the real fajr time. If we're going to fast that day, are we allowed to eat when we see that tail of light?
Yep.
If we're going to fast?
Yep.
We're allowed to eat because it's not really fajr yet. It's like we're still allowed to eat. So the Prophet said, when you see the false fajr, you can eat but don't pray. And then he said, when you see the true fajr, when the light spreads on the horizon, can we pray fajr at that time?
Yes.
Can we eat?
No.
No. That's right. The second fajr, you can pray but don't eat. Pray but don't eat. The first fajr, eat but don't pray. This is subhanAllah. SubhanAllah, the signs of Allah Ta'ala in His creation. And then the Shaykh, he brings a quote from one of the Mufassirin, Fakhr al-Razi. He's a Mufassir, Rahimullah. And he says something very interesting. He says that this Mufassir, this scholar, he writes in his tafsir, he said the tail of light, the tower of light in the sky, is from the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's from the amazing signs of Allah ta'ala. Because when you look at the sunrise, the fajr, the light of the shafaq, like after maghrib, the redness, everything has a cause. If you see the sun rising and then it gets brighter and it's yellow, you see that yellowness, it's caused by the rays of the sunlight. When you see the sunset and there's still redness, that's actually the rays of the sunlight still coming up over the horizon and making the redness. But the Shaykh, Imam Fakhr al-Razi, said, where did this false dawn come from? What causes this tower of light to show up like a sign in the sky and then disappear? He said, this is something with a sign from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah can cause something to happen without any cause. He can make something appear without any cause. This is what the Shaykh mentions. Where did this light come from? It's not caused by a star. That light in the sky, there's no stars there. Is it caused by the moon? The moon is gone by that time. What is the cause of it? Allah. Only Allah knows. So here, the Shaykh, he said that this is one of the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He can make an effect happen without a cause. We have to believe in that. That Allah can make an effect happen without a cause. Then he gave an interesting example. When he quoted the Quran, when Allah says, "Inna anshanahunna insha'a, faja'alnahunna abkara urman atfaba." Allah Ta'ala, He describes the Hurun Ain in paradise. The Hurun Ain, the wives of the people of paradise. He says, "We have made them, we have anshanahunna insha'a. We have made them, we have placed them in a special way, or we have caused them to exist. We have made them unmarried, virgin, and of equal age. Young and of equal age." So here the Shaykh, he said, Allah, He created these women of paradise without a mother and father. They exist in paradise, but they have no mother, they have no father. Yet, they're creations. Every other human being, they're the children of Adam and Hawa, Adam and Eve. They have a mother and father. Even Isa ibn Maryam, he has a mother that caused him to come into existence. But how did Allah create the Hur al-Ain? How did Allah create the birds of paradise? He caused them to exist without any cause. He made them exist without a cause. This is something that we should reflect upon. That Allah, He can make anything exist without a cause. That's within His power. So this is one of the signs that Sheikh he mentioned when he saw the false dawn. No. Otherwise, every other human being he has to have, normally has a mother and father. But the women of paradise, the Hur, they don't have any mother or any father. They just, Allah made them exist. No. No. Then also the Shaykh, now he mentions the next part of that hadith. Now, so the birds of paradise, they didn't have come from eggs. See, when Allah describes the birds in paradise, the fruits of the paradise, He described the things of paradise. Was there a farmer who grew those fruits? The meat that would be of the people of paradise, did somebody have to go and slaughter an animal to make that meat?
No.
Did the birds have eggs where they came from? No. They say that Allah caused them to exist without any specific cause. He made them exist without a cause. So this is one of the powers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No. Okay, so the Fajr, the false Fajr, the early Fajr is a sign that the true Fajr is coming. It's a sign, that tail that looks like a fox, you'll see it like a tower of light. And then it's just going to disappear. But it's telling you that the true Fajr, it is going to come. And it's also a sign of Allah's power. May Allah be perfected. And that Allah is power over all things. And He doesn't have to have a material cause to make something happen. He doesn't have to have a material cause to make something happen. Alright, and so the last part, the true Fajr, when the true Fajr starts, we can pray but we can't eat. This is now it's Fajr time. And the false Fajr, we can eat but we cannot pray. And the way that we know that the true Fajr began is that you see the whiteness like a thread on the horizon. Allah describes it. The white thread becomes distinct from the black thread. And does everybody know what that means? The white, Allah says in the Quran, when the white thread becomes distinct from the black thread. Hatta yatabayyana lakum al-khaytu al-abyadu min al-khaytu al-aswadi min al-fajr. When the black thread becomes distinct from the white thread. Yes?
No.
This is a very, that you perhaps you know the story about the Sahabi. One Sahabi, he read this ayah, when the white thread becomes clear from the black thread. So what he did is he took a white piece of thread and a black piece of thread and he put it under his pillow. And then when Fajr came, he kept on looking under his pillow, can I see the white thread and the black thread? This is what he understood from the ayah. So the Prophet ﷺ, he said, when the man went to him, and he said, this is what I'm doing, black thread and white thread. He said, you must have a very big pillow. The thread that's being talked about is a thread, the white thread of the daytime and the black thread of the nighttime. So the scholars, they say when the daytime, the daylight becomes distinct from the blackness of the night, now it's become the time for the true Fajr, inshaAllah ta'ala, and the night has ended. And this is when one can pray the Fajr prayer, inshaAllah ta'ala. So we pause here. Any questions up to here?
Yes. How you said dawn in Arabic?
The dawn, Fajr. Fajr means dawn.
So how can you explain what like Fajr, how shall look like dawn? If you put in English, dawn is like, it's not dark. It's dawn.
No.
It's, you can see like, the date is coming.
Okay, the how do we know when is the Fajr? The true Fajr.
Yeah.
The true Fajr is when you start seeing white light, but it spreads across the horizon. Mm. See, the false Fajr is going to go straight up. It's going to look like the tail of a fox. And it's not going to cover the mountaintops. When you look at the horizon, it's still going to be black on the mountaintops. But the light will go up into the sky. The true Fajr, when you look at the mountaintops, brother, you said you live high up, brother.
Yep.
Did you ever look at the mountaintops of Fajratan? Do you see some light? So if you see the whole horizon covered by whiteness, then this is how you know that it's the true Fajr. You see the whiteness on the horizon. Okay, so that's, and then it will start getting brighter and brighter and brighter. So when you see the whiteness of the daylight, the white thread of daylight, then you know that it's true.
When we pray here, it's dark also. When I drive from the house, yes. I live in a almost mountain, but I never see.
Okay, this is another quick point. The brother said that when he comes to the masjid, it looks dark outside. But the way that you can see the Fajr, you have to really go to the desert. You have to go to the desert. You cannot see the Fajr in the middle of the city because there's buildings all around. And number two, there's pollution. So they say that affects it also. If you go to the desert, yeah. You go to the desert, you'll actually see whiteness. You'll see the whiteness of the daylight coming. You'll see whiteness of the daylight coming. Is that a good question?
I mean, like now you pay more attention to it.
Let's go, Yali's house.
You got to move from there.
We had two sisters from the two questions from the sisters.
Yes.
Male, three, mashallah. May Allah reward the sisters and increase them in knowledge. Question related to the topic, One question, هل يجوز تصفيق في الصلاة بتنبيه الأطفال ليأخذوا حذرهم من شيء خطير مخافة أن يمعوا مكره أن يبقى مكروه من الأطفال. Okay. Sister is asking, وعليكم she said السلام عليكم وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله. Can a woman clap in the salah to warn the child away from a danger? Depending on the type of danger, she might even have to go and catch the child so he doesn't get hurt. Because the, you know, the injury, if the child is going to be injured or go outside and there's traffic or something might happen to him, he might get lost. And so then it might be necessary for her to carry the child, or she can even move and take the child and hold the child. And there's a hadith, this is a chapter, we're going to get to this sister in the chapter on what types of motion is allowed in the prayer. So it's a very beautiful chapter. We're going to go into all the hadith. Because you have hadith, the Prophet picked up his granddaughter in a prayer and things like that. But yes, there is a hadith that the woman can clap in the prayer to indicate to the imam if there was a mistake made. She's allowed to clap in the prayer. But she shouldn't speak, but she can clap. So we're going to get to this chapter about what is allowed during the prayer and what isn't. So inshallah, we'll get to that. Alright, so here the sister said, هل فعلا هناك العشاء الأولى والعشاء الثاني? I'm not familiar with this. Okay, there is some ulama that say that Isha should be prayed before midnight. And this is, there's some evidence for that. Some of the ulama, they consider that Isha times ends after midnight. But the correct rule in Allah, on most of the madahib, they say that it's preferred to pray Isha before midnight. This is in the Hanafi school. They consider it makruh to pray Isha after midnight. But before midnight is preferred. But if one prays it before Fajr, it's still on time. And this is the view of many of the ulama. And there is a text to support that, where the Prophet said every prayer extends to the beginning of the next prayer. So there is some text to support that Isha can be prayed until Fajr. But before midnight would be safer, because all of the ulama agrees that the best time for Isha is before the middle of the night. Ma'amu waqtu salat al-maghrib jazakum allahu khairan. We spoke about that. I don't know if the sister maybe wasn't there at that time. Maghrib, there's two times that the scholars say the preferred time is to pray as soon as the sun sets, and one should not delay more than the time for wudu and adhan. The time that it takes to make wudu and make the adhan, according to Imam Malik. And so the time for maghrib is the time that it takes to make wudu, call the and pray two rakahs, pray for 8 maghrib and pray 2 more rakahs. then he considers the time is over. And but if there's a necessity and one prays it later, he says it's enough. And all the scholars, they say that Maghrib time begins when the sun, the circle of the sun goes below the horizon and ends when the redness leaves the sky, other than Abu Hanifa, who says the whiteness has to leave the sky. Inshallah, the last question is it obligatory to take a ghusl bath for Jum'ah? Is it obligatory to take a ghusl bath for Jum'ah? Yeah?
No?
Depends. It's obligatory upon certain people, of course. A woman, if she's finished her menses, a man or the woman, they're in janaba, etc., they have to do ghusl. And some scholars, there's a hadith that says ghusl of Jummah is obligatory in every Muslim. But then there's other hadith that the Prophet said, can we make wudu for Jummah? He said, if you do wudu, it is good, but ghusl is better. So how do you join the two hadith together? The one says that if you do wudu, it's fine. And if you do ghusl, it's better. And the other wudu says ghusl is obligatory upon every Muslim. Here again, we have to understand the commentary of the hadith. Not just take one hadith. We have to look at the commentary of it. It's good to look at the hadith. Ghusl is obligatory for every Muslim. But when you look at the commentary, the scholars say that there was a group of people who were farmers, who were sweating, and they would come to Jummah and smelling really bad. So the Prophet told the people, he said, ghusl of Jummah is obligatory in every Muslim, and so they wouldn't harm the people. So Ibn Taymiyyah, he gives the rule, and this is what I'll mention, is that if somebody smells bad, ghusl is obligatory. If they smell okay, then it's still good. It's mustahab, inshallah.
Even before it's work,
in the morning, should you do ghusl in the morning? The scholars say the day of Jummah begins with Fajr. So if you want to do the ghusl of Jummah, it has to be after Fajr. But when is the best time for it? The strongest view is the closer to Jummah you do the ghusl, the better. Because you'll be more pure and more fresh for Jummah, inshaAllah. May Allah reward all of you for staying for the Hamad, and may Allah give us knowledge. Benefit us all by His knowledge and cause it to spread and absorb, inshaAllah.